appreciate for that singing and reminder tonight, 1 Timothy chapter number 5. I got it. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. Good to see you here. Every week I feel like we're in the dog days of summer. And man, it has been warm this summer. And, 1 Timothy chapter number 5, look at verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man. 1 Timothy 5:22, lay hands suddenly I think someone's alarm's going off. Oh, never mind. It's over. Okay. 1 Timothy 5:22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Look at these next three words. Keep thyself pure. Keep thyself pure. God puts an importance on purity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, as we discussed this morning, as we looked at your word, God, we're thankful for your love. God, thank you for making a way that we could then return and reciprocate that love back to you. And one of those ways is by keeping your commandments. God, help us as fleshly, sinful people have a desire for purity in our life. Lord, bless this time now. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to individuals here through the power of your word. Holy Spirit of God, work in our midst. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to think about yourself here tonight. Everyone's at different places in their life. And we're going to look at a bunch of scriptures and what it is that the Lord touches your heart about. I pray that you'd be obedient and open to what it is that God maybe deals with you about. If we kind of think of ourselves and, you know, just for understanding, think of ourselves as maybe like a, I know it sounds weird, but like a vehicle. There's a lot of different things that can go out wrong on that vehicle. A lot of different areas where we as people could be affected by impurity, if you will. And although maybe someone's tire is low or they need an oil change, maybe an area in your heart, or maybe it's in your mind, or maybe it's in another area, that you evaluate what it is in your life where God says, keep thyself pure. Where have you neglected? Is there an area where you've allowed the devil to get in there a little bit and contaminate that which is pure? Ezekiel chapter 44, great verse in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 44, just a principle of thought, and then we're going to jump over to Isaiah. I'm going to look at a bunch of different passages. In Ezekiel 44 and verse 23, it says, and they shall teach my people the difference. There's a difference, listen now, between the holy and profane. And cause them to discern between the unclean and clean. God says, I've determined that this is what clean is, and then this is what is unclean. When dad asks you to clean the room and when mom asks you to clean the room, it's two different levels. Is it mom clean, or do you want it, or can we just be satisfied with dad clean? Dad clean is reasonable. Mom clean is holy. And I wonder if in our own life we view purity like that. Are we just kind of dad clean? Are we just kind of moderately pure? Or is there an area that needs some attention? Isaiah chapter 52. In verse 11, depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch. It says, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out in the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. As vessels of the Lord, God would desire from you, and we're going to look at this even further in 2 Timothy. He would desire that you be clean, that you be pure, that you'd be a vessel that when he would go to grab and go to use, that he could use that. Amen. Not just the right tool, but a clean right tool. A vessel that's pure. At our house, we have well water. And sometimes that's good, sometimes that's not good. Say, when is it good? Well, I don't know. I'm sure there's a time somewhere that it's good. But certain times of the year, we just can't use the dishwasher because that takes things and it just kind of cooks into our glasses. And although they've gone through the dishwasher, they're not really clean. And we have to preface that and tell people when they come over, hey, it's just the, and or we'll get those things ready and we'll have to hand scrub them and do all of that. Although sometimes we clean things, is it really clean? And sometimes we don't realize how dirty we are until we actually clean up a little bit. And God desires that we be clean. I'm not trying to beat anybody up over anything, but I do want you to evaluate in your own life. Are you clean and pure before the Lord? I read a book some years ago. It was, I think it was called the Purity Principle or the Principle of Purity. And I had this thought, and it just stuck with me. Impurity is stupid. That's what it said right in the book. Because what it does is it takes something clean and makes it unusable. It compromises integrity. I wonder what God, let's think about this just realistically. Now, God is merciful and gracious and patient and long-suffering to us, and he understands that we're, but wouldn't it be a shame that if he went to go use us and we weren't pure before him and we weren't clean, that he wouldn't be able to, that we were a vessel unable to be used, that we were compromised in some way. That something that was designed to be usable all of a sudden became unusable. God takes purity pretty serious. In my Bible reading, I'm finishing up the law again, and God takes purity very serious. Say, how do you know? I read chapters on just how to clean a priest, just so he can go do what he's supposed to do. God takes purity serious. He takes purity serious in your life. He wants you to be clean before him. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And the devil would like nothing more than to contaminate you and make you unusable for the things of God. He cannot get your soul, but he sure does want to make you ineffective for the cause of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, look at verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. We just read there in Isaiah where he said that there was a vessel for the use of the Lord. Hey, that's what I want to be. I want to be a vessel that God can come by. Nate, can I borrow you for a second? Nate, can I borrow you? All right, come here. Love Nate. Yeah, look this way. I'm going to pretend you're me and I'm the Lord. And I want the Lord to be able to come up to me and say, oh, yeah, this is exactly what I'm looking for. Great. You know what? Here, we're going to put you over. Not physically, that you smell great. You're doing great. And hold on, I'm just fixing your collar really quick. Okay, there you go. And but wouldn't it be a shame if the Lord goes to use us and then we got the filth of the world on us? And there's a process of getting clean. But wouldn't it be a shame that if he needed us right here, right now, that we were a vessel unto dishonor rather than honor? Thank you, Nate. One of the greatest aspects of Nate is his smile. Just smiling. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. So, well, are you saying God can use people and he can't use people? I'm just telling you, this is what it says. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I don't get to decide who God uses and who doesn't use. That's his choice. But verse 22 helps us with that. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So I'm going to ask you here tonight, are you pure before the Lord? Are you clean? That when God wants to use you, he can. When God wants to reach down into that tool bag or into that armoire of vessels, and he goes and he grabs it, oh, this one's covered in grace. This one's filthy. So how do I keep myself pure? Well, we have a lot of ways. In keeping our heart pure, we got to be careful what we allow in. Look at Lamentations. I like this verse. Lamentations is right in between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Does that help? Yes. All right, good. If you have a Scofield Bible, Charity, 837. All right, there you go. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 51, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Hey, if I'm going to keep my heart clean and heart pure, I better be careful with what I'm looking at. Talking to some people this week, a similar conversation, but certainly what we look at and what we desire to look at kind of is a window into our soul of where we're at with the Lord. I love horror movies and I love scary things and demonic things. Hey, that for a Christian, that ought not to be. I love full violence. I love swearing. Well, are you kidding? That you ought not to desire that. That should be a warning flag to you. If you desire to see those things, things aren't right with you and the Lord. But he says this, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Well, that's why we want to take people on missions trips. That their eye gets affected positively for the Lord. But if we look at on this on the dangerous side, that means the things that I look at could take this clean vessel and make it unclean. I want you just for a minute to close your eyes for a second. Don't fall asleep. We have the air conditioning on. Close your eyes. I want you to kind of, in your mind, stand on a beach with the crystal blue water in front of you. Put a sailboat out about maybe a quarter of a mile, big with a big sail. Can you see all that? See, that's the danger. You can open your eyes. That if you look at something, there's a possibility that you get those things logged into your head, and it's tough to unsee what you see. There's many a young man that are contaminating, and just for the sake of the group here, there are many young people, adults that are contaminating their mind and their heart simply by what they're looking at. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. The Bible tells us in Psalms, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Why would he say that? Because what goes in my eyes goes into my heart, because of my eye affects my heart. And if I want to be pure and I want to be clean before the Lord, I better be careful with what I'm looking at. Piper, can I use you for a second? How old are you, Piper? Perfect. Can you come stand up here? So appreciate Piper. I'm just going to say this real quick. She's, You're lovely. Don't go too far. You make me nervous near the edge. If this precious little soul couldn't sit next to you on the couch, watching what you're watching, you ought not to be watching it. Because you know what's wonderful about Piper? She's like, I'll tell you if you don't know. Piper's pure and innocent. And I wouldn't want to contaminate her in any way. And if it would contaminate her, wouldn't it contaminate you? Hey, let's use Piper. Okay, you can go sit down. Thank you. I didn't know you were such a celebrity. Wonderful. But I want you to think that way. What I'm looking at, what I'm watching, I'm going to have little Piper sitting next to me. Well, it's not that bad. Well, would you want her to be? Would you want something pure to be contaminated? Little Piper is going to go through and she's going to watch what you watch on your phone. If that makes you shudder in the inside, chances are that you're taking something pure and you're compromising its integrity. Be careful with what you watch. Be careful with what you see. Be careful with what you listen to. The Bible warns us against gossip and how dangerous that is, and speaking ill of. I'm telling you, if someone starts talking bad about somebody, just stand up and walk away. Don't listen to that. I know you want to. Oh, this is juicy. I want this information. Don't listen to those things. Why? Because those things that go in affect your heart. Psalm chapter number 12. Bible tells us the words of the Lord in verse 6 are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. The word of God that we hold in our hand is pure. That means it is not compromised. I could sit down with anybody and read the word of God and not have to worry. The word of God is pure. Man, wouldn't that be good if those were the words that were coming out of our mouth? Look at Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15. We won't be long tonight, but I want you to get this thought as we walk out of here tonight. I don't know if this is a bad word or not, but impurity is stupid. It'll ruin that which is good. And if you get a hold of that, that might help us. Help us all. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Pure words. What comes out of your mouth? Is God pleased with those words? Do you speak the words of Christ? We've been studying the words of Christ with Mr. Bauman. What you look at, what you listen to, what you bring in. Sin contaminates our body. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. This is what God desires from the church. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27. That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's what God desires from us. That's what he hopes for. My boys watch these, mainly Joe watches these, what are those videos, like restoration videos? Guy takes we saw it yesterday, it was a 20-minute video, took a 1930 lamp, banged up, dented, rusted, and makes it look fresh out of the box, if not better. And man, his tools are clean. He always looks like he's got brand new tools. That's what God desires from us. That we'd be clean and holy, without blemish. He takes off all the impurities. He soaks it. He sandblasts the things. He gets rid of all the rust, old paint. Makes it clean and pure. That's what we need every now and then. Just go through the sandblaster, right? Just to get clean and pure. That's what God desires from us. God is gracious, but do you see what He wants? He wants us holy. He wants us clean. Look at Philippians chapter number 4. Finally, brethren, in verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, he tells us what? To think on these things. He wants our mind to be pure. I like that verse, Titus chapter number 1, verse 15. And again, kind of thinking like little Piper here. Titus chapter 1, verse 15, under the pure are all things pure. Years ago, Sarah and I, before we had children, we worked at an abused children's home. We were troubled youth. Volunteered. And there was a little girl there that experienced things that no one should ever have to. And what got taken from her? Her purity. Wouldn't it be great to be able to think purely and just see purely? To be clean before God. Unto the pure are all things pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. Hey, listen, impurity is stupid. Because it takes something clean and makes it unusable. It compromises its integrity. We want our mind to be used for the Lord. Think on good things, pure things. Matthew chapter 5. We're almost done. Matthew chapter number 5. Look at verse 8. Matthew 5 in the middle of the Beatitudes here. Christ is talking to his disciples and he says this phrase, Matthew 5, 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See, what does that mean? One day they'll see. You'll see with the pure heart, the pure mind, you will see God working around you. You'll just have a unique perspective. Proverbs chapter 23. And verse 7. The Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. A pure heart. A pure mind. How important these things are. Got to be careful. Got to be careful with what you allow in. We see many people in the scriptures. We've seen many people walk around us who've been devastated by an inability to keep themselves pure. And ruined something that was something that could have been beautiful and wonderful and right. James 1, and we'll be done. James 1. James 1, verse 27. He Hey, as you think on pure things, be careful that you not allow bitterness, anger, to have a foothold. The Bible warns us about that root of bitterness in our heart. That thing has deep roots. That is tough to get out. But the crazy part about that is that we plant that seed. And then we water it, and we allow it to grow. Be careful. James 1:27 says this, pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted before the world. As we saw, God desires in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, he wants us to be pure before him. He wants us to be holy. Here, what does he want? He says, the pure religion, this is what I want. I want you to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Now, when you go and brush shoulders and arms with the world, you know some of that gets on you. You got to make sure you cleanse your heart, your mind. So how do you do that? Through the Word of God. Being faithful to prayer. Coming to church, having good fellowship with people. You know a person who they're hanging around by how they talk. Right? Because all of a sudden you start talking like that person. All of a sudden you pick up phrases or you pick up words or you pick up ways about you just by rubbing shoulders with people. That's why it's good to have good fellowship. Yesterday was a sweet time and, you know, these graduation parties and things and just spending time together as a church and being able to have dinner on the grounds and just inviting people over and spending time together. Why is that good? Because it strengthens our faith. It gets some of that world. It knocks some of that off. Our conversation's pure. Our conversation's about God. We encourage one another. That's so important to strengthen our faith. Last verse. First Timothy chapter number 1. 2nd to last verse, maybe. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned. That's what God would like to find at the end of all this. Love with a pure heart, good conscience, real faith. Poland Springs water here. If someone went over to the pond, took a giant scoop of that and put it in here, man, I'm not saying that no one here would drink it because there are some crazy people in this room, but you ought not to because it's dirty. Or if you poured motor oil in this thing, or gasoline in here. Things that could really hurt you. If I put gasoline in here, it'd still be clear. It would look right, but on the inside, it's not good. I know on the outside you might look right, but I'm asking that you evaluate inside. Psalm 119, and then this really is the last verse. Unless the Lord leads us to message number 2, and if you all don't stop sassing, we're going to go right into that. You can't get me laughing, I'll start coughing. Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Maybe, how about this? Maybe you haven't done things exactly how you should. So what can you do? You clean up. You get right. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Word of God is a great cleansing agent. the water of the Word. Replace that nasty filthiness, those impurities, that uncleanness, with the Word of God. It'll cleanse you. It'll cleanse you from the inside out, which is great. So here tonight, what do you think of impurity? I think it's stupid. Say, why? Because it takes something clean and makes it unusable for God. And God puts a very high importance on purity. And the way that this body gets contaminated is by what we allow into our life. We can blame nobody else but ourselves. If you're dirty, it's because of what you did. Well, then you were around the wrong crowd. You're around the wrong people. You're doing the wrong things. Take ownership of it, get clean, and don't repeat that again. For your own benefit. So that when the Lord comes by and he's looking for a vessel that he can use, he can grab you. Let's all stand tonight. I know it's a sensitive material, but if at any time we stop getting, if we start thinking that sin is okay in our life, we're in a world of trouble. Remembering this, keep thyself pure. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, all the areas, all the attacks, all the fronts that we have in our life, God, we're going to need your help. God, we want to see things purely. We want to be used by you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us here tonight. God, if there's things in our life that we're allowing, God, we would go and throw those things away, burn it, destroy it, whatever it is. It's just not worth what it costs. God, I pray that you'd help us in our heart, in our mind, in our body, and our faith to be pure. Lord, I thank you for this dear church, the encouragement. Thank you for the blessings that we heard tonight. Lord, I pray you'd watch over us now, protect us as we travel home. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night.